The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't know if he was putting his foot in his mouth or if he was just telling the truth, but when he said repeatedly to Reese Davis on Tuesday night that the teams that are not playing this weekend will not juggle around in seeding, I thought, I don't A, know if that's true. B, I thought, that is a comment that I don't think Boo Corrigan ever would have made, because Boo had really mastered the art of being as milquetoast as possible and just sort of repeating the question back at you, or just saying, well, we don't project on hypotheticals, Reese.
That's a great point, because I have been surprised that Reese has thrown out a lot of hypotheticals and they didn't do the standard talking point had always been, well, we don't deal in hypotheticals, we deal in football.
Yeah, and I do think Ward's been a little bit more illuminating, and I don't agree with his answer on Tuesday night. I mean,
but he gave one,
and if that's it, I guess those teams are locked in. Now we'll see, because Ward's one vote on the committee. Different committee members can walk into that room next week and say, "Well, we know what we told you last week, Ward. We've changed our mind. This is how we're going to do things." So, yeah, I don't have a great appetite to see, Georgia, Tennessee again, but I don't think it's off the table, I guess is what I'm saying. Just because I think the committee knows there's a chance that they have to set up a rematch in round one or round two. And that's the reality of having, a 12-team playoff where, four teams are going to be from the SEC, quite possibly, and certainly four teams are going to be from the Big Ten.
Yeah, well, I think I've kind of come to just mapping it out here. I think Blake's point about Ohio State, Penn State is very interesting. I didn't really think of that. There's so many different kind of scenarios out there.
Well, they could also say, like, Penn State, let's be real, they really weren't supposed to be in this game anyway.
Right. And I think what ultimately happens, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts on this, let's say Texas and Oregon both win. I don't think they'll take a home game away from either Georgia or Penn State. I think that's very important for those programs to keep the home game. But I think I could see Notre Dame moving to 5, Ohio State to 6, Penn State 7, Georgia 8. I think that could be a scenario that could play out. And then just whether or not they want the rematch there. It's pretty simplistic. Texas, Oregon, one of them lose, they'll be the 5 seed. That's pretty obvious. But, yeah, I think if chalk holds in those two monsters, that's going to be pretty interesting to see. Any chance Boise State doesn't get a bye if they win tonight?
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance that, if Arizona State lays waste to Iowa State, which I don't think they're going to. But if they did, I think they could wave their wand and catapult them past Boise. I don't think Boise would slip past the 11 line. Wouldn't that be something? You get the 5
seed. You beat UNLV and then you drop.
Yeah, not only that, you get the 5 seed and you think, okay, we're going to play the weakest conference champion, and it's like, oh, no, you're not. You're going to play Alabama, 5 seed. Alabama's
Oh, injected into my veins.
And I know, because I've heard from some of them, that they won't say it publicly, but Notre Dame fans want nothing to do with Alabama in round one. And maybe they should. I don't think this is a great Alabama team. I mean, we were just discussing earlier whether they should even be in this field. I'm not sure that Notre Dame should be scared of Alabama, but they don't want anything to do with Alabama. They want Arizona State or Boise or Indiana or someone like that.
I think they'd rather play Ohio State than play Alabama.
Probably. So, yeah, no. The matchup they absolutely do not want is either 5-12 against Alabama or 6-11 against Alabama, however it shakes out. And that could be what they get. It very well could be what happens there. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. What would surprise me is Arizona State blowing out Iowa State. But if they did, if they won comfortably, and it's a bit of a struggle for Boise State, yeah, I think they could catapult Arizona State past Boise. But I do think that would be, even for the committee that does strange things whenever it wants, that I think would be too overly punitive for the committee to take Boise and go from all the way down to the 12th seed. I wouldn't be stunned if Boise loses the bye. I would be pretty surprised if they take them all the way down to the 12th seed. I don't think Boise falls lower than 11.
It is funny, and maybe I'm alone on this island, but like there's this idea that because Boise will be the G5 or UNLV will be, you know, the G5, that everyone can't wait to see them matched up against that. I actually think the sweet spots get matched up against Indiana. I think I'd rather play Indiana than play Boise. I think Boise is much better up front.
Yeah, I think there's an argument for that. I also think if you're the 5 seed, would you rather play the Big 12 champion than play Boise? You know, again, I've said I don't think Boise will be the 12, but let's just say
Arizona State doesn't have their best wide receiver.
Like, yeah,
I mean, that's exactly. Kind of an issue.
It's kind of why I don't think they're going to win tomorrow.
I don't think they're going to win either.
Yeah, if I have to choose right now, I have to play Boise or the Big 12 champion. I'm taking the Big 12 champion. I'd rather play the Big 12 champion than Boise. If I'm the 5 seed in this bracket, whoever it's going to be, whether it be Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, whoever, I want to see the Big 12 champion as the 12, which we very well could get. If bracket was out today, that's what we'd have, is Big 12 champion as the 12 seed. That's what if I'm the 5 seed, that's what I want to hold. I want to play the Big 12 champion in round one.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend, and let's pray for some chaos.
It's always entertaining.
Yeah, let's do that. That, of course, is Blake Topmeyer. We come back. Let's get into the list. Circa has taken a massive, massive bet. It was talked about on Tim's other program. We'll discuss that, get into more. We got some Belichick news. Maybe this UNC thing is real. We'll talk about that and more. We'll give you our cards coming up in hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Zen Sports just picked up the grand prize winner for the November Big Game Sweepstakes, and now they're running it back here in December with the Big Game Sweepstakes College Edition. This time, instead of going to the big game for the pros, they're giving you a chance to go to the very first big game in the new college football tournament. With a grand prize of $10,000 cash and 2 tickets to see the biggest college football game of the year, yes, the one in Atlanta, and the ability to earn entries on every bet you place in December, it doesn't get much better than this. Also, if you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You'll still have a shot to win one of 10 other prizes, which grant you $1,000 towards any college football playoff game in 2025. So what are you waiting for? Head over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules and to earn a $100 no danger first wager on your first bet. Don't forget to use promo code JeffTN. Zen Sports, betting just got better. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Let's get into the list. Bill Belichick. All right. So we get the news yesterday, or maybe, yeah, I think it was yesterday. I think it leaked out yesterday. I want to say the North Carolina team site for 24/7 Sports had it. Maybe it was on 3. I do apologize. We now have Ollie Conley on X. He is his newsletter is read optional, and he says, per sources, I'm told Bill Belichick's negotiations with North Carolina include a guarantee that Stephen Belichick will be named the school's head coach in waiting. UNC is open to that guarantee. Discussions are not a bid to gain leverage for NFL offers, and BB is open to the move. Any potential staff would include Matt Patricia, Ben McDaniels, that's the Texans passing game quarterback, also brother of Josh McDaniels, as well as a sitting college GM who would handle the general operations, NIL, recruiting, etc. Belichick's preference, from what I'm told, according to Ollie Connolly, remains a return to the NFL. But the landscape is already considered thin based on feedback for the league. Moving to college with a guarantee for his son will overrule waiting on the NFL carousel. Okay, so I think let's start first with the story yesterday. I don't know how you felt, but when I heard the story, my first thought is, which side leaked this? Because it didn't really make sense to me why either side would leak this. Is it possible this thing's happening?
The Stephen Belichick angle, I did not think of yesterday.
Yes, totally agree. This really does make it different for me.
That makes it a lot different for me. Because initially I saw this, I'm like, what are we doing? You know, is UNC doing this just to say, hey, we got Belichick to interview for our job. Look how awesome it is, you know? But the Stephen Belichick angle really makes some sense because he's currently a power four defensive coordinator at Washington. And if Bill is able to do this for, I don't know, 3 years and then hand it off to his son, I guess it makes some sense.
He has also been hanging out with 22-year-olds recently.
Well, and that was also my other point was his current lady friend is in her 20s, I believe. So
they were red carpet ready last night.
Chapel Hill is a phenomenal place to hang out in your 20s, I've been told. So I still don't believe it'll happen. But the Belichick, the Stephen Belichick angle makes this a lot more real in my eyes than I thought it would be. And I guess the other angle is if Belichick, Bill, is getting feedback that no one's going to hire him in the NFL and he still wants to coach, why not? You know, it's not like he's going to some, you know, he's going to a conference that seems rather gettable, SMU well, year one.
Literally a team just bought their way in and has a chance to win it.
And, you know, Clemson is believed to be a little bit on the decline. You can get players there. I don't think it's crazy hard to recruit there because it's an awesome campus and good academic school, etc. Maybe this will help the collective. I don't know. I mean, I just can't see Bill Belichick out there, you know, begging for money from the collective, but it seems a lot more legitimate today than it did yesterday. When I saw the news initially, first I was like, this is not real. Then it got legitimized that it was real. It did happen. They interviewed him. And if they have a plan in place that his son is the coach in waiting, okay. It makes more sense than I thought.
So this would be my argument. And I think what we're going to start to see, I think for sure in the SEC, in the Big Ten, I think it's going to be, if the system remains as such, it's going to be difficult for coordinators, I think, to move up because the most effective thing for the collectives and roster is coach with name recognition. Like, there's a reason why Arkansas, when they hired John Calipari, like the donations were rolling in more than just Tyson money. Like it's what motivates people if you have a big name. The reason why I find it a little interesting at North Carolina is most believe that Carolina is not going to do anything with football that would truly jeopardize basketball. I can't see Belichick taking a job where they're not going to, you know, try to be as competitive as possible. Does that make sense?
So let me ask you this a question, and I think, thankfully, we're on in a city that I think respects and knows college football, so this doesn't sound crazy. If you're North Carolina, who would you rather have, Bill Belichick or John Summerall, the coach of Tulane? It's a different world, man.
Yeah, no,
it's a different world. I would rather have John Sumrall. As crazy as that sounds.
Okay, but let me phrase it this way.
He's 72, man.
No,
like,
he is.
Is he really going to be grinding, texting with kids?
Well, then
I know you get a GM and all that stuff.
Well, the other aspect of it, though, is like, it sounds like not only are you getting Bill Belichick, like, then you're getting Stephen Belichick. And it's like, okay, that will be his first head coaching job. Like,
and apparently Matt Patricia.
Correct.
Do we have to have Matt Patricia? If I'm the UNC, I'm like, do we have to have him?
Now, the flip side, though, would be this. I bet Bill Belichick brings in more money than John Sumrall does.
I would agree. I mean, the excitement level. I mean, does Jordan just drop like 50 mil? Like, Bill Belichick's here? Here you go. I mean, I'm being hyperbolic a bit, but like,
well, he did. Yeah. He did just get how much? $4 billion. What did he get from the basketball team?
I have no idea, but a lot.
He sold a team that he ran into the crowd.
Oh, the Bobcats. Oh, yeah. Oh, and then all the Jordan is the GOAT people were like, see what a brilliant guy he is. I'm like, he sucked as an owner. He can be the greatest basketball player ever and be a terrible owner because that's what he was. But then he made a boatload of cash.
Yeah, I think he made a 2,000% profit.
Well, as I've always said, the best investment in life is buying a professional sports franchise. I just, you got to somehow scrounge up the billions.
Unless it's
like
a minor league baseball team.
Well.
Or soccer team. The other interesting news, you been keeping up what's happening in Stillwater?
No, I don't think so.
So, according to Pete Thamel, currently there is a standoff between Mike Gundy and the old Oklahoma Board of Regents.
Oh, boy.
They want to restructure the contract, and you'll never believe this, but they'd like to include a pay cut. Obviously, if you're Gundy, you tell them to kick rocks. I've got a contract that says pay me that. I would also point out, isn't this usually the number one move of how you fire somebody that you don't want to actually, or maybe you don't feel like you have the political leverage just to straight up fire? Don't you just cut their pay?
Oh, boy. I hope Gundy ain't gonna take a pay cut.
No chance.
Cue the Jim Calhoun, not a dime back.
Not a dime back.
Yeah. And he'll definitely not take a pay cut. Nor should he. They were awful this year, but the sustained success that Oklahoma State has had is, to be honest, unprecedented. They are little brother in that state. They have no talent in that state, really. And if you're awesome in that state, you're going to go to Oklahoma, going to go to Texas. Like, it's pretty remarkable that they've had as much success as they've had on a regular basis. This year was awful. There's no doubt they went winless in conference play. But if I'm him, I'm like, fire me then. I'm getting my money.
I would like to know what happened. Because it was like in a league where, like, if you look at UCF goes what, 4-8? But I think of UCF's 8 losses, I think if you look at the conference ones, like half were one score games. The thing about Oklahoma State was, like, they were just getting absolutely blown out, which obviously implies that they had quit. But I'd like to know, it's not like he just had a down year. Like, it, the bottom fell out. How did that happen? I mean, weren't they? They were close to preseason favorites, right?
They were second.
And they finished dead last.
They had the most, I believe, if not number one, like top three in most returning production in the country. And they went to the Big 12 championship a year ago. And they had Ollie Gordon. They had, you know, a 33-year-old quarterback and Alan Bowman. I understand why they would do this, but he ain't doing it. That, of all guys in college football, that's like the number one dude. I'm like, he ain't going to take a pay cut. This happened a couple years ago, didn't it? Him and Boone Pickens, I think, weren't seeing eye to eye or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, there was always, you know, he was the king of any time a job opened in another league, he'd throw his name out there. And I think Boone at one point had had enough. Now, Boone is obviously no longer with us. And I want to say there's even been a president changeover. I don't know. To me, this seems like, when you get to this point, like you've reached the beginning of the end.
I could just see Gundy being like, whatever, give me my money, I'm out. Just let me go. I don't know what his
maybe are. This is the beginning of the old structured buyout. Although, yeah. If I'm Gundy, I'm sitting there going, what's the contract say?
Yeah.
I want to look. What do you think that one is?
How much is he owed?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm looking it up.
I'll say 30 million.
Let's see. All right. You're pretty close. 25.5.
Oh, that was going to be my initial guess. Damn.
So he makes 7.75. Yeah, if I'm him, I'm sitting there going, whatever it says, that's what you want me gone, that's fine, but you're paying me that.
Hell yeah, man. Jimbo ended up getting all his cash, didn't he? From Texas A&M?
I mean, the
he didn't
best
restructure.
The best is literally Ross Bjork at halftime of the game was like, don't, like, had the big giant check, you know, the Happy Gilmore check. That was his buyout, like giving it, you know, whatever from Aggie Athletics. Like he was giving over the buyout money on a like the night before he got fired.
So here's another report. This is from the sports director for a TV station in Tulsa.
All right,
Mike Gundy has been offered a restructured contract for less money that would also restrict his autonomy when it comes to hiring coordinators. The sources also say Gundy has a 5 p.m. deadline today to make a decision.
I mean, isn't the decision like...
Hell no.
Yeah, it's just like, no, will you pay me
Fire
that?
Fire me. Give me my $25 million.
Yeah.
And guess what? Gundy would get a pretty good job because he's a good coach. He had a bad year. He's crazy. He brings, you know, I don't know if he brings baggage. He's just crazy. He speaks his mind.
I do wonder, though.
Let him take the New Mexico job.
Well, I'm sitting there wondering, though. In the end, reputation and all this matters to a certain degree. Wouldn't you be fighting against the reputation that he can't do it in this era? Now, yeah. I would argue he's a good football coach. And
he's never been like anywhere else other than Oklahoma State.
Correct. And that would be my argument.
He played there. His early coaching was there. I'm looking at his Wikipedia now. He was at Baylor for 1 year, Maryland for four, and then he's been at Oklahoma State since 2001. So essentially, he's 57 years old, and of his 40 years since high school, he spent five not at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and my argument would be, well, a lot of these coaches that say things, it's like what I've always kind of pushed back when people laugh at Dabo, and I'm like, you kind of have to read through the BS. What Dabo's kind of been saying without pissing off people that give him the money, I don't operate at the level that these other people are operating at. You know what I mean? Financially, like I don't have all the resources that all these... But people just focus on the quirkiness or weirdness of it. I think the same holds true with Gundy. Like, but I'm sitting there going, like, if you're UCF, like I think Gundy's a better coach than Gus, but like UCF would not give him that job, right? Because it would just feel like the same thing with Gus.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm an AAC school, I'm like, hell yeah, man. Tulsa. Has Tulsa made their hire yet? Like, come on over, Gundy. Like, if you're Tulsa, this is the best news ever.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't think they've made their hire, right?
I don't think so. That's a bad job.
Oh, well, it's a horrific job right now.
Brennan Marion, I think, is a Tulsa alum. He's the OC for UNLV, so there's some thoughts that...
They're waiting on him.
That he could get it. I don't know. But it's also Tulsa, so... They didn't hire Kevin Wilson. And they didn't hire, they could have got G.J. Kinney.
Yeah.
He just got a, you know, he's not been incredible, but he's certainly an innovative guy. But yeah, if I'm Tulsa, I'm like, why don't you take that buyout and come here
come
for,
on down.
For pennies on the dollar?
You don't probably don't even have to move, really.
Nah, you're good.
Probably close enough. Circa Sportsbook. All right, so this story, did y'all break it last night?
So I'll be honest, I'm a little bummed. So this happened. My schedule's kind of all over the place. So I normally work Thursday nights on VSiN Prime Time and we have Derek Stevens, who's the owner
right.
of the.
Right. That's why I assumed it was your show.
So you normally would be accurate. However, I was off last night because I had a elementary school holiday concert to attend. So
looking forward to those.
Yeah. It was actually pretty good. I give him a credit. They did a good job. But Derek Stevens, yes, broke the news last night on VSiN that they took a $3 million money line bet on the Philadelphia Eagles at, I don't know what the price they got. It was probably like minus
So according to the ESPN story that wrote it up, it was minus 700, and then after the bet was accepted, it moved to minus 870, and that moved Carolina, I believe, from plus 500 to plus 650.
Yeah, I'm looking at a $3.1 million bet at minus 700.
Okay, I'm dead serious here. Do I need to, because Derek has even pointed out, hey, if you want Carolina, we got the best price in town.
They do, plus 680.
Do we have, like, do I need to Venmo you $100 to go put it on the Carolina money line? Because my logic is this. Circa's not going to accept that bet if they don't at least feel decent about the other side. Or am I an idiot? Which probably the answer is yes.
I don't think you're an idiot. I think they... Yeah, I don't really... I wish I was on last night because I could have got a little more intel from Derek. Normally, Circa doesn't really announce bets like this.
Yeah.
They'll tell you, hey, we took a six-figure bet on this. We need this side. It was interesting that he was like, yeah, we took $3 million on
Philly. By the way, tell me the mechanics of this. Because, like, you can't just go up to the window and say, I want to lay. Like, do you have to talk to Derek?
Derek has to approve it. 100%.
So you're probably calling, what, the director of the sports book?
Yeah, or I don't know if this is a... My assumption, once again, I do not know this answer. My assumption is that he's a customer, so he probably has a host. So he probably reached out to the host and said, hey, I want to put down $3.1 million on the Eagles, and they've got to run it up the ladder, and then ultimately they'll take it or not. So... Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's $3.1 million to win $442.
What could go wrong?
We got to be on Carolina Sunday, right?
Of course.
I mean, right?
They've been playing better. They've been playing better.
Listen, the sitting Bryce down thing worked.
Now,
it's why I've always hated the stupid narrative of if you sit him down, you ruin him forever. It's like, Troy Aikman tells the story of getting benched like 8 times his rookie year. Like, sometimes you do need to go. It's kind of like we were talking about, this was the game last year that Quinn Ewers, this was the game earlier this year that Quinn Ewers, they sat him down, they put Arch in, and everyone's like, oh my God. Sometimes it's okay to go sit on the sideline and watch it and take a break. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
So I've got a bit of a theory. Once again, this is not
sourced, yes.
Or sourced. So, also Circa has the largest legal in-season tournament going on.
All right.
And the winner of Circa Survivor wins $14.2 million.
Oh, you think this is a hedge?
The reason it's not, I think, they hear me out, I think it's to drive up the other side so you could come back in on Carolina at the best money line price to ensure. So I don't know if it's
that's
the right
a
person.
Hell of a head fake.
Now, once again, that's just I just thought of that theory, and like, is this a buddy of someone who's like, hey man, I'll help you out.
All right, hang on, let's do the math here. So it takes 3.1 to win $422.
Mm-hmm.
So your theory would be they're operating it like a hedge fund would, where you're buying the Eagles because that they picked money line. So they're unless you get a tie, which would be hilarious, you could get what? What would you have to lay? Let's see, at 650. So if you put down $1 million, you'd win $6.5 million. You lose the 3.1, right?
Yeah.
Like you still at that point made $3.4 million.
Yeah.
So that's what you think's happening.
I don't. That's a theory.
Makes sense.
Because then you have your survivor ticket, which is currently valued at like $250,000 with 52 people left. So I don't know. This thing gets a little too complicated for me. But yeah,
I don't hate that idea.
Yeah, I think there will be. And I don't know how many folks left in Survivor have the Eagles. I would imagine I could probably find out the answer. But I would imagine that will be the number one selection. So I'm pulling up the availability right now. Philadelphia, 14 people still have the Eagles left. So of those 14, I'd imagine all of them are going to be using Philly this weekend in Survivor to advance on. So I would not be surprised if this is trying to get one of those entries a nice juicy hedge on the opposite side.
Well, I also think it's like, now, I'd be curious to know if somebody came in. Now, obviously, you can have someone else make the bet, but Derek's smart enough to know, hey, these guys are working together. So, would Derek take my thing is, okay, let's say you put $2 million on the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
You put $2 million on the Panthers, so you'd win 13, you lose your 3.1, you just made $10 million, or you made $1.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Would Derek take the $2 million? Philly bet because then, or sorry, the Panthers bet,
Carolina bet.
The $2 million Carolina bet, because now you've run into the situation where if Carolina does win, you're paying out more than you would have. You know, it's one thing to pay out $400,000 and take a $3.1 million bet, but it's another thing to pay out $13 million and only collect $3 million.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think he would take a $2 million bet on the Panthers. It would be my guess. Now, he does, and he's talked about it openly, he wants these people who are in Circa Survivor to make money.
Yeah, it's right? A business. Yeah.
So he wants people, like he will, Circa Sports will take wires for the remaining Circa Survivor entries to ensure that they win money, right? They will take wires to bet on the other side. He wants these people who put in a $1,000 entry initially to ensure that they win a lot of money on this. Like you,
there's enough point, other losers that you can. You're still making money, so
right. Yeah, and the crazy thing is, like, you know, I've been a part of the. They're doing another documentary this year on this Survivor, and I've been a part of it every week. And like the carnage every week it's just brutal. But he wants this thing to last to the end of the year because it's a contest that isn't. He's not making money off the contest. The money that's been put in, he guaranteed $10 million. They had 14,266 entries, so the winner-take-all is $14.266 million. That just goes back out. Like, he doesn't take anything. There's no rake. There's no house take on that. So, yeah, I don't know this, but my gut would be that it is a situation in which maybe it's to juicy up the other side.
Yeah, I can buy that. All right, let's get into our cards. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, Tim. Championship week is here. You blink and football season's over with. I mean, obviously we still have playoff games this year, so we'll be keeping it rolling more so than... And of course, you and I will have bowl games starting, what, a week from Tuesday? No, a week from Saturday.
Week from Saturday. First one, the Salute the Troops Bowl or something like that in Montgomery, not too far from where you sit.
All right, let's hear your card because I think... I'm going to guess you and I are basically on the same stuff. What do you got?
Yeah, not robust. Obviously, we only have nine games.
I heroically bet every game.
So I do have Tulane money line from paired with the Packers plus yesterday. So I wanted to pair it with something because
did
I
you get the hook?
I did something I almost never do. I teased the Packers up to 10.5, and I got Tulane money line. I think the price was -108.
All right.
So I have Tulane money line tonight. I would bet them on the spread. I just didn't really want to mess around with it. I think you're getting a little bit of a Tulane on sale because of Thanksgiving night. I also think this Army team has not been playing all that well. Played a little under in it, too. It's going to be cold. Both these teams are pretty slow. So played a little under. That's it for tonight. So
what's your under number?
46.
Because every under I wanted moved like 3 points, and I was like, whatever.
Well, it's interesting to note, you know, just from a market movement standpoint, UNLV, Boise State, I when these two teams played in October, total was 64. It's now 57.5.
Georgia, it was indoor versus outdoors, too, though.
True, very true. When Georgia and Texas played in Austin, it was 57. It's now 50.
Oh, I was going to tell you when you were asking, Blake, I know you're not the world's biggest trend bettor. The SEC championship game weirdly has a history of being a big-time over game.
I know. No, I know. That's why I wanted to bet the under, and I talked about it on my podcast yesterday, but I ultimately stayed off because I was like, it always tends to be an over game. Look, Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State, rematch of what we saw last week. I don't really have anything. There's rumors that Rich Rod is interviewing for the West Virginia job, which certainly could play into this game a little bit. And then, look, I'm excited for UNLV Boise State. I've kind of gone back and forth. You know, DraftKings just went to 4. We'll see if it ultimately goes that way. These two teams played in October, as I mentioned. UNLV lost 29-24, but had the lead in the fourth quarter. They bottled up Ashton Gentry to just 3.9 yards per carry, which was his lowest by far of the year. I did have a beat reporter from Boise State text me yesterday. He thinks Boise State, he thinks Ashton Gentry is going to go off. He didn't necessarily think that it'll necessarily be a Boise State win and cover. And then I also had a Mountain West coach just text me earlier today saying that he thinks that UNLV will take it. So I don't know. That game, I'm excited to watch. And if I had to play it, it would probably be take the points with UNLV.
All right. I'm betting all of them. I'm taking Jacksonville State laying the 4. It's just a general principle. When you got teams that played the same week, I'm flipping the result. Also, I am fingers crossed that Huff for Jacksonville State is back. That's a huge part of this. You mentioned the cold, and for me, I am someone from the South, and I am not built for cold. I'm miserable. It's awful. Like my dad and I went to lunch today, and we're just talking about trying to go to Florida, you know, over the break because we're just so miserable. Tulane looked so cold last week in New Orleans. The high tonight's 27. I know Sumrall's record against the option, against service academies. I'm just saying, when you're from the South, you ain't built for it. I'm taking the 5. Give me Army. I can't think of anything I'd want to tackle less than being against the option. Then you and I watched that whole Boise UNLV game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if UNLV could play much better than they did.
They had some dumb penalties.
Yeah, but offensively, like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe I'm an idiot.
I would just say this about Boise State. They have not been playing great football.
They have not, but I do think this is like, hey, man, like, some of the times they haven't been playing great football, it's been kind of like level of opponent. And I just think, UNLV has the Boise State heebie-jeebies. Like, I'm afraid that's the square side, but whatever.
No, and look, I think there's some thought process that maybe UNLV's a popular dog. I have not bet the game. I initially, my first blush, and sometimes you stick to your guns, my first blush was Boise. Because the number was 4 in Vegas. It's now 4 in Boise.
I also have a general principle. Conference championship games get at someone's field, give me the home team. It's like 17-10.
Even though last year,
yes, I know,
Boise State walked into Allegiant,
but it was a dome. Wasn't outside.
Gave them a taste. But that's a little different, Boise State fans. I've also been told that they expect this maybe to be the best atmosphere in the history of that stadium.
All right, and then tomorrow, I mean, duh, it's the MAC championship game. You always take the dog. Taking Ohio.
Have not won the MAC since 1968.
I think Solich was 0-5, but again, this is, you know, come on, no one should be favored in the MAC. I'm taking Georgia. I just, it's the classic kind of spot where everyone's freaking out about Georgia, Georgia Tech. Texas looked pretty good, at least defensively. I still think they're going to have the same problem. I don't think they can block them, and I don't think Banks is playing for Texas.
And I think Quinn Ewers is an issue, man. I really do.
And I think Beck is not as bad as the narrative. And he's been playing
better, dude.
He's been playing much better.
No picks in his last three games. Look, I think Georgia at their best is the best team in the country.
They don't get there.
And that's what Blake said, and I think it's a fair assessment, which is, can you trust this team for four straight games? Probably not. But at their best, they proved it, man. They went down to Austin and smashed them.
All right.
So I have not bet that game. I do have two bets tomorrow.
I'm taking Clemson. I'm taking Clemson. I'm assuming you are.
Yep, I'm on Clemson.
Marshall, Huff is whatever.
Huff's gone.
Huff's going to be the Southern Miss coach. And then I'm holding my nose. I'm taking Penn State.
That would be the side I'd be on too, man. I just can't trust James Franklin. Small game,
you know,
James.
Quietly, you can't trust Lanning either.
That's true. There's more of a track record of Penn State's coaches.
But he's not playing Michigan or Ohio State.
1-16 straight up in top five games.
But it's all against Michigan and Ohio State.
There might have been like an Iowa thrown in there.
There was one Iowa, but his quarterback got hurt. All right, George, you got to hit the music. We're running out of time. All right,
and,
buddy.
I'll give you one more. Right. I'm on Iowa State.
Yeah, we both are.
Yeah, Jordan Tyson being out is not getting talked about enough. Give me the clones.
For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, George Pickens, when asked about Greg Newsom, who is that? All right, George, we don't believe you. My thanks to Blake Topmeyer for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show with Connor and George coming up next.